This podcast is brought to you by SharpFocusMediaAcademy.com.
The following program is intended for mature audiences. It may contain profanity, adult situations, and spoilers. This is The Jinx Podcast.
I'm sorry.
This is our apology intro for taking forever.
Yeah, we deserve it.
Yeah.
So do you.
We're back. So does anyone have any excuse as to why we've been away for so long?
Well, it's like the end of season one, you know?
Yeah, we went on vacation.
Exactly.
I guess so.
To find ourselves.
In Ship Bottom, New Jersey.
After I have sex with a guy, I will rip their heads off.
Would be my time.
All right, so we're going to talk about this Dateline. It's Robert Durst, The Lost Years.
Yeah. I do always enjoy Lester Holt's velvety voice.
I always said the real mystery of Dateline is what ethnicity is Lester Holt.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's like Hans Molman's son from The Simpsons.
Good one.
Who was it that said his head looks like a peanut?
That was me also. Yeah.
just mean.
But yeah, I just have a problem with Lester Holt.
I don't know why.
He plays stand-up bass.
Fuck him then.
Lester Holt, though, like, he was just kind of the MC. The real host of the show was, what's his name?
Keith Morrison.
Keith Morrison, that's right. Mm-hmm. I think that if Keith Morrison and Lester Holt had a love child, it would look like that homeless dude that has the golden voice.
yeah, Ted Williams.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's good.
How's Ted Williams doing?
He's back on the streets.
Is he?
He is.
Yeah, he's back on the rock.
He was like the voice of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And then apparently he fell off the wagon.
Damn, was crack that good? It must be awesome.
We should do an episode where we all smoke crack and record it.
You know you love it.
It's a murder mystery. You've got a wealthy family. It's something for everybody. There is a club of people consumed by trying to figure out what happened. I've never seen anything like it.
Talking about us?
What a bunch of losers.
He's talking about us.
Get a life.
Nerds! Get a life is right.
You'll have
take
to
a life.
Edit in Ogre screaming nerds.
Or Homer.
Yeah.
I think I may have it.
Yeah, because you just have the Homer nerds drop. Standing by.
Oh, I think this is Ogre.
Get those nerds!
Nerd!
Nerd!
Perfect.
That's what Lester Holt was thinking of himself when they asked him to do
the writer of this.
He's like, again?
Get a life. It's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time.
Almost everywhere Robert Durst goes, mystery follows.
There was a photo that they kept showing, like a younger, like 1978 Robert Durst, looks just like Tom York from Radiohead.
But both his eyes are the same size.
It's true. Poor Tom.
I mean, the King of Limbs was just so disappointed.
King of Limbs?
Ooh.
It was a Radiohead album.
It is.
And it's also Robert Durst's AOL screen name.
Yeah, King of Limbs.
What am I doing here?
He's been the subject of several Dateline episodes and the star, though not in the way he intended, of HBO's The Jinx. Does anyone know the truth about Robert Durst?
It looks like Little Lord Fauntleroy.
I don't even know what that is, but it's absolutely spot on.
He had that haircut and he dressed all fancy, like velvet garb.
We begin with two people who have known and loved the man they call Bobby, godfather of their son, close friend of more than 40 years.
Bob was the godfather of their child, which I don't know where that kid is now.
Signed in blood.
This man, I can't think of his name, because...
Robert Goulet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sounds exactly like Robert Durst.
His mom committed suicide when he was 7 years old, and it was a devastating experience for Bob.
Bob was raised on the set of Twilight Zone.
But then in the 1970s, Stewart introduced Bob to a young woman.
Nice going, Stu.
You never want to end up on Dateline.
You just never want to introduce people to each other. Because when they end up like this, it's all your fault.
Yeah.
Kathy was Kathy McCormick, Stewart's young and beautiful upstairs neighbor.
So on the show, didn't they say they met at a nightclub? Does this change every time we look at this case, how they met?
Well, in the movie, they met in a nightclub.
Did the plumbing.
No, he showed up to fix her sink or
something. He's like, I forgot why I'm here, which is a good opener.
He's got more game than I do, which doesn't say much.
Do you guys have any other good pickup lines, though?
Nah.
My favorite is, I will walk up, or I not will, I used to, because I'm obviously happily married. Walk up to a girl and point over at my friend, usually a goofy-looking guy over in the corner, and I would say, hey, listen, you know, I know this might be a little awkward, but my buddy over there, he wanted me to come over here and ask you if you think I'm cute. It usually worked. They were like, wait, if you're cute?
What are you, deaf?
Yeah.
One that's worked a couple times. If there's like two girls, I'd be like, what the fuck are you looking at? And it always works. But, you know, that tends to be at a Home Depot.
Later, when Bob began showing up at work again, sporadically, he wasn't anything like a buttoned-up executive.
He enjoyed smoking pot in a social situation, burping and farting, because it disturbed people, you know, and he liked to watch their reactions.
Right. He especially liked when people would pull their shirt up over their nose. He really enjoyed that.
Burping and farting? It was the 70s, you know?
I used to think it was funny on the subway if I had headphones in and you'd fart. I'd have no idea if it made noise or not. And just kind of look around.
Well, I had read an article the other day. It was somebody who's deaf. And when apparently they were able to put some sort of implants in their ears, and as an adult, they were finally able to hear. And they admitted that they never knew that farts made noise their whole life.
Well, they never read a book?
Nobody would tell them.
Right?
Like Clayton Bigsby. Nobody had the heart to like tell them.
Could you imagine that?
But I also used to be on the subway, I remember, and if I'd have headphones in and I'd sneeze, and then I just wasn't sure if anyone would say bless you, which they probably didn't in New York, but I would just be like, thanks. No idea.
Yeah, it's like when like you say hello to someone like in passing and they don't say anything. Like I always like, well, fuck you then.
And then you run.
Yeah, exactly.
And you scamper.
Gesundheit, like, and I also, you know, living in here in Los Angeles, I understand that people are like sensitive to all this shit. It's like, but I grew up in a house. You say like, God bless you, like, don't force your beliefs on me.
Yeah, I say that. that was me.
Oh, okay.
I don't like bring God into this. You're God.
Have you guys ever tried to sneeze with your eyes open, like forcing your eyes open
while driving 100 miles per hour drunk through a DWI checkpoint? No.
The main town near Trinidad is Eureka, where we discovered Bob spent quite a bit of time in a secondhand clothing store, primarily for women.
I think he wanted to be a crossdresser, and maybe he was experimenting with it. Do you know what I mean?
No, go on. This old lady's holding in her, like, contempt. She's definitely not on Team Caitlin.
No.
She's... If you know what I mean.
And public opinion, he wrote, turned against him, unlike before. In 1982, the tone of the publicity was of a scandal about a rich schmuck who had a terrible marriage.
Schmuck. People, he called himself a schmuck.
Themselves from me because of it. In 2000, I was a murderer who everyone disliked.
As opposed to a murderer who everyone likes.
There was some macabre kind of kooky energy that went on between them.
We got some unique insight from a woman who claims she was Susan Berman's closest confidant and therapist and psychic.
Being the psychic of someone who was murdered?
Yeah.
Not something you want to brag about?
No, yeah. It's like, should have seen that coming. She's not going to put that on her resume.
I always hate when psychics ask you if you want like your palm read or something in Times Square. You're like, you know the answer, and you just walk away.
Her name is Barbara Stabenow.
Barbara Stabenow.
Mm. Oh. Telling.
Oh, interesting the irony. Name.
Also a good porn name.
Yeah.
I was thinking other porn names for these people on the show. Robert Durst.
Bob Burst.
Dirty Dick DeGaren.
That's, I mean, that's like the best porn name ever.
I had the feeling she felt afraid of him because she was afraid he would withdraw any help.
Look at all her trinkets up there, the wizard and everything. She bought those all with Marlboro Miles. Pretty mm-hmm. good. I saw a commercial this week on, I think it's Good Day or Today. It's all about twins and whether they have like psychic powers with each other and shit like that. I wanted to see what you think of twins.
The movie Twins?
No. With... The phenomenon.
Oh. I don't know. Like, in what sense?
Do you think they have special powers? Do they creep you out?
No.
Put them all down?
I always wanted to have a twin when I was younger. I wish I had an identical twin brother so I could fight him to the death, Highlander style.
That'd be cool. What do you think of twins? Creep you out or what?
Yeah, they do. They're kind of like redheads.
I knew they would.
But, you know, you'd like to think that there's some kind of, you know, relationship that goes beyond. Like, they were, like, identical twins. Like, I was working with these two guys, and they were, like, totally identical. And the only way you could tell them apart is their shoes. Like, Brad has red laces today. And you're like, you're fired. Get out of here.
In his log, he wrote he didn't like wearing a wig. It itched, it got in my eyes, unless it was on tight, which made my head sweat.
Talking about a wig or condom? That's my excuse. That's my excuse for when a girl has to put on a condom.
Makes my head sweat?
Yeah.
It's itchy.
Itches, unless I have it on too tight, and my head sweats.
He rented another room in New Orleans. We found the place, and his old landlord, Michael Ogden.
He was wearing a blouse with small brassiere, a wig. He wasn't a drag queen. He was just in disguise.
How drunk is that guy?
Yeah. And they had to do several takes. Like, sir, we can't air that. Please don't use that word again. It's like, sir, this is NBC.
I know about cross-dressers, and he wasn't one.
Yeah.
Sir, can you take the glasses off your head, please, during the interview? He's like, I don't know where my glasses are.
Throw your head.
I don't know where my glasses are.
And then dismembered the man and threw his body parts into Galveston Bay. Here's how Durst described it. Jack Daniels, marijuana. Bought bow saw not deep enough. Returned for bigger bow saw, could not use saw. Went back, first looked at electric saws, bought axe, did it.
Caveman, kill friend.
Zug zug, Lana.
They're pretty vague about how they got these notes from him.
Right.
They're like, we obtained these things. That's all they said in the beginning.
As we know, NBC journalists are very trustworthy.
The Altmans visited him in jail. Bob wasn't so confident he'd get off. In fact, he asked his friends, the Altmans, to help him learn more about what life behind bars would be like for him.
He thought that if we got to know the ins and outs, that maybe it would be easier for him once he was on the inside.
Can you teach me how to smuggle
a pack of Pall Malls, like, in your
my
grundle?
Buttocks.
Yeah.
A tape recorder.
I read a book. It was called...
Boring!
Thank you. I was watching you set that up, and I'm like, oh, boy. Why even bother?
He worried about how he'd hear his favorite music, for example.
He was trying to find out if maybe there was a radio station he could buy so that if he were in jail, he could have music that he liked.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's going to buy a radio station so he could play his own
just music. Boys to Men.
Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob. Bob. Mr. Bob. Get mommy out of the Bob.
I think Robert Durst, if he had a radio station.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
So if you bought a radio station because you were going into prison, what would you have them play all day?
I'd probably, like, start with a little Ace of Base. But that's, you know, that's enjoyable. And then, you know, a little Ace of Base for like lunch. And then I just go like obscure Ace of Base. And then, yeah, I don't know. And then just like Ace of Base for a bit.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Scott, what would you have them play?
Breads, Greatest Hits, maybe. Something soothing, you know? I mean, I don't know if you've ever listened to that that CD. It's pretty darn good. Maybe a little bit of Aaron Neville. I'm not sure.
Sing it.
Look at this laugh. I know the years are showing.
What I would play over and over would be...
Oh, somebody kill me, please! Somebody kill me, please!
Bob knew his chances of acquittal depended in large part on winning the jury's sympathy. So for that, he went on a crash diet.
Bob was trying to use every way within his power to look frail when he was on trial in Galveston.
I found that interesting.
Yeah.
That he was trying to look frail?
Yeah.
Didn't have to try very hard.
No. He's a slight gentleman with the Velcro
like a
sneakers.
65-year-old, 4-foot-tall man. Like, what do you... No one's going to be intimidated by you, Bob.
I mean, he still wears a backpack, for the love of God.
Sitting next to this judge, by the way, he did look frail, so that was fine.
So now two FBI agents show up at the hotel, and they're talking to the clerk. Well, do you have anyone booked here under the name of Dorothy Siner? Mm-hmm. No. They go through 10 other aliases. No. 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 Damn, where is he? They turn around, and there's Bob.
Smearing shit on the wall.
With a towel and his flip-flops. You know, he just got back from the pool doing laps.
Imagine he was in the hot tub with you. Yikes.
I would, dude, I would
think he wore a woman's bathing suit when he was walking around there? And how did that landlord know he wore a small bra? That was weird. Weird detail.
So, who was that witness of 18 years ago? Would he still remember? The cops hadn't spoken to him recently, so we found him, riding his tractor in the green hills above Eureka. His name is Randy Gomes, an Army vet and local carpenter. Did he remember?
I looked right at him because I was yelling at him.
Yelling at him because that guy cut him off when he stopped his car to pick up a teenage girl.
You know, and I eyeballed him all the way around.
How many dead bodies does this guy have on his property?
We showed Gomes his sketch and a picture of Robert Durst.
What is your gut reaction when you see those two photographs together?
Holy Lord.
I believe that's the man that I saw.
So how sure are you you got it right?
I'm positive. In my heart, I know.
But issues. There's no proof that it was Karen Mitchell who got into the car. And Bob Durst's eyes are not blue.
No, they're not blue. They're jet black.
Remember Uncle Charles, y'all? You know, it was crazy. He had these Uncle Charles, y'all.
I think that's him, man. They said he knew that girl from... she worked at the homeless shelter and the place...
The shoe store.
And the place where...
The women's shoe store.
Yeah, and the homeless shelter where he used to hang out. And her mom is like, yeah, she loved weird people talking to total strangers, get to know them.
Yeah.
There's a lesson in there somewhere.
I'm still not convinced.
I mean, don't talk to strangers. Especially weirdos. So he picked her up. He probably saw her cut this guy off.
Yeah.
Cut off his tractor. This guy yelling at him. With all the curlers in his hair, with his perm. To wrap up, so what do you guys think of this Dateline? Did we learn anything new?
Only that Susan Berman had some kooky friends.
The world's worst psychic.
A pretty bad psychic.
Who knows, though? I mean, Susan Berman might have only paid for, like, the bronze package. You know what I mean?
Where's Miss Cleo when you need her? Actually,
yeah, the lady flips over the card. It's like the death card. She's like, "What does that mean?" She's like, "You'll have to pay another
$5.99." The only thing that I thought was cool was the fact that he liked to fart and burp in front of people.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew he was the life of the party, but now we just have further proof of that.
The death of the party.
Yes. Yeah, I'm curious to see what his opinion on the Jinx was, because I know that...
Hated it.
I know that his attorney was like, they edited it. The editing was so over the top and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they said in this that he was watching the Jinx, and that's when he went on the run when the episode of the Beverly came out. He was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
See you.
Cloud of smoke.
I think that's all the time we have for today. You can send us any questions, theories to thejinxpodcast@gmail.com because we are ghetto. Or you can tweet at us at thejinxpodcast on Twitter. My name's Jim Cunningham.
This is Kevin Crowley. Appreciate you listening. And yeah, keep tuning in.
Yeah. And this is Scott Crowley signing off. Thank you.
Get those nerds!
Later.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Thank you for listening to the Jinx Podcast.
Diabolical.
Be sure to subscribe and tell your friends.
Diabolical.